You are listening to Filhos da Imigração, the podcast that turns the challenges of raising kids abroad into stories, lessons, and inspiration for families like yours. In today's episode, we will hear the story of Monica, a Mexican mother who has lived with her family in Mexico, Brazil, and the United States. Her family is a beautiful example of how courage and education can connect cultures and shape the way children see the world.
He wasn't really feeling himself when he was at school, but when he started going to the scouts sessions, then he was really being himself. The food. The food is amazing. I would say the food, the people. So I was really surprised that the only difference that I had from living in Mexico and living in Brazil was just the language.
Hello, everybody. This is Leandro Siqueira, and I am super excited to have here with me my friend, co-worker, Monica Fernandes, who's going to talk about her immigration story along with her family and, as always, bring some tips and tricks about how to do parenthood in a foreign country. Monica, as we always do, we start with introductions. Can you please share your background and your family immigration story, please? Just to get started.
Yeah, sure. So thank you, Leandro, for the invitation. I think this is really, really useful. And I will try to share as much as I can my experience. So thank you very much for the invitation. Okay, so I am Mexican. I have two kids. I am married. My older one is 24 and my daughter is 20. So we got here in the U.S. when my son was 2 months old and my daughter, she was born here in the U.S. So my husband and I kind of had the idea to move around since we were kind of young. And then at the end, we end up in the U.S. And I'm happy to share my experience with you.
Thank you. And Monica, one of the things that makes this conversation really exciting is that you also lived in Brazil. So to get started, can you help us establish a timeline of your immigration process going through Mexico, US, and Brazil so we understand exactly in which year each one of those moves happened?
Yeah, so after we got married, we moved to Europe for some time, and then we came back to Mexico. After Mexico, my husband was transferred for work, and he was transferred to Brazil, to Sao Paulo. Mm-hmm. So we got there, and we lived in Sao Paulo for around 5.5 years. I started working in Sao Paulo in the same company as my husband. And just right before my son was born, we kind of started to discuss if we will be moving away from Brazil, although we didn't want to. But Brazil was too far from Mexico, and we wanted to be surrounded by family. So we kind of thought about the U.S., right? Not maybe moving to Mexico, but moving to the U.S. And the closest to Mexico, I would say, and the culture was Miami. So we kind of thought about that, and the company kind of approved our transfer. So my son was born in October, and then in January, we were already in Miami. So basically, my son is a Brazilian citizen, but he didn't kind of grow there. Right. So it was a bummer because we really liked the culture, and we always tried to go once a year when he was born. So we were able to travel to Brazil just right when his birthday was, so we can have the party in Brazil with the friends. So we got to Miami, and after 3 years, my daughter was born. Right. So that's when our U.S. experience started, when my daughter was born.
That's awesome. Thank you. And Monica, of course, we are going to talk about parenthood in foreign countries. But before we get there and talk about you and your husband, your kids in another country. Just curious, how was your impression when you got into Brazil? This is a podcast made for Brazilians. We are now expanding our audience, but I'd love to hear your impressions of Brazil when you got there with your husband.
So being a Mexican, and especially at that time, I'm talking about 30 years ago, we didn't have that many, I would say, contact with Brazil. It was too far from Mexico, right? So, and I know that we were kind of surrounded in the south with Spanish-speaking countries. So Brazil, for me, was like a too far country and a very unknown country. So when I got there, I was so surprised because it was like being in Mexico. Everybody, yeah, they were so warm, the country, you know, the country itself, the people. So I was really surprised that the only difference that I had from living in Mexico and living in Brazil was just the language. Because other than that, our culture is so, so similar. Especially we have a relationship through the football that I think it links us more. So to me, there was really no change. I was felt very, very like at home, and I had to learn Portuguese. That was the only difference.
Yeah, and by the way, for those listening to us, Monica does speak Portuguese, but we are doing English just to make this broader. Thank you, Monica. Now, you know, in the previous episodes we did here in this podcast, we talked about the pregnancy process in the States, the childbirth process. One of my guests talked about the steps to go from his house into the hospital. How was that for you in Brazil? Was that similar to your experience in Mexico, or would that be similar to the experience you would have in Mexico?
So I would say, like, it's similar in the way, like, the way the doctors work in Brazil and Mexico. Of course, my kids were born in the U.S. and Brazil. So basically, the comparison that I have is between those two countries. But seeing my friends, I would say, the things they tell me, I would say between Mexico and Brazil, there's not a huge difference. I felt that between U.S. and Brazil, I would say the process is different. Not that one is better than the other, but it's just the process that was different. For me, being a first-time mom in Brazil was really easy because I had a direct contact with the doctor. If I have any question, I would just either call the doctor or even maybe send an email or something, right? The communication was faster. And for me, it helped me a lot because I was really very nervous with my first kid. Not that with the second one I wasn't, but here in the U.S., especially at that time, that was 20 years ago when my daughter was born, of course, communication is way slower and different. Mm-hmm. So that's the big difference that I saw communication-wise. And the process of giving birth was also different. In the U.S., it was nice because I could even invite my sister-in-law to come and see my daughter being born, right? And I can have everybody in the room with the doctor, which was really nice. And in Brazil, I think it was a little different because it was like more in a I don't know how they call it, the room where you give birth, right? But that is more for the doctor, your husband, the nurses, and that's it. But in here, you can invite your family, your close family, of course. So it was different, but nice, both experiences.
That's cool. Yeah. I didn't know we could have more people here in the room with us in the U.S. Yeah,
maybe
that's
now
important.
It's different, right? But yeah, at that time, it was nice. It was like that, yeah.
Now, moving a little bit further on your timeline, you are in the States with a two-month-old child. What was it like to raise a child in the States? Although the United States is close to Mexico, I'm assuming there are important differences between where you lived in your home country and Miami. So can you tell us a little bit about your motherhood experience being in the States?
So in when we got here, we were only my husband, my son, and myself, right? So we were really just the three of us. And that was a big change because we didn't have family surrounded and we were kind of only the three of us. But what was nice is that we started to become or creating community, right? Mm. And even if you have any question, you, of course, you will always call your mom, right? But I found it really nice that if I would take my kid to the playgrounds, that was something really cool about the U.S., that you have so many playgrounds, that you feel secure, you feel that everything is clean. The playground has different, games for different ages. So it was really nice in that sense. And in that play, you start kind of meeting people from the same, in the same situation, right? Uh-huh. So at the end, your friends will start becoming your family. And then being a mom with only my kid and my husband, I really needed to have that community. So it was easy because I found people with the same situation as myself, and I found a very nice pediatrician who really guided me mm-hmm. through this, motherhood, first-time mother, and she was really, really nice. She helped me with all the questions that I had. I had access to her very easy, which I think it might be the exception, but it helped me a lot to being a first-time mom alone here in the U.S.
You know, another hot topic in all episodes I did here was language, English. For most of us coming to the States, English was a big barrier, especially to the spouses that came with the loved one who came transferred by the company, most of the cases I heard here. However, you went to Miami. I don't know how much English you had at that time, but I know Miami is a big Spanish speaker community. Do you believe that helped, or your English was good enough so you could create a community even in English when you got there?
Miami, that's what they said. It's the closest. It has the infrastructure of course, the U.S., but then the community, the surroundings, it's more like a Latin place, right? So that helped me a lot because even living in Miami, I thought I would learn I would be more in contact with the language, with English, but it was completely the other way around. Even the doctors were in Spanish. So that was good for me. Because mm-hmm. it really made me feel at home. Yeah. But then when I was working, I was with, I was still part of the Brazil area within the company. So my everyday life was in Portuguese and Spanish. And the only English I would speak is if I went to the supermarket or going to public places. So that helped me a lot because that helped me in a way that I felt at home. Of course, English was a little rusty. And then after we lived in a place where it was more like a Latin area. But then we moved after that, we moved to the north of Florida. And that was a different story, right? That's when you start getting more in contact with the language. And then we moved to Atlanta, and that was a completely story. That's when really I had to start practicing my English, right? Portuguese was less because then I was more involved in the U.S. area of the company, but I was still, talking with the employees in Portuguese. So that's where I, I was more in communication or exposed to English when I moved to the north of Florida and then to Atlanta.
Monica, now I'm going to move 17 years in the timeline to talk about when your son was 17 years old and he went to Brazil for an internship, if I got that right.
Yes, you got it right.
What I'd like to get from you here is, okay, your son was 17 and needed an internship to strengthen his resume, right? Why did you guys pick Brazil as you were in the States already?
We had to. So my husband and I didn't study here in the U.S. So we were kind of clueless of what the college process is. So we hire someone to help us and guide us through the process, the college process. One of the things that she suggested is to have more exposed to whatever, like more to the community, more exposed to everything that kind of make your kid show that he's a good student, but what else is he? Is he, you know, more involved in the community, in everything else that is related to school? So because he's Brazilian and we always wanted him to kind of talk Portuguese, he had a friend in the high school where he didn't speak any English, this Brazilian friend. So my son would meet him every morning before school started. And that's when he started learning Portuguese. The company for my husband, where my husband works, they have, of course, an office in Brazil. So to build that curriculum, we thought maybe kind of play two roles, right? He will be learning Portuguese. He will be having an international experience, will show that it will show good in the resume when he applies to college, and also have the experience of being a Brazilian, even though he only was born there for, like, you know, he only had the experience of 2 months. He was very little, but being more exposed to his country, because at the end, it's his country, right? So that's why we decided to send him to Brazil. And he was so happy. He really enjoyed and loved the idea of being in Brazil for 3 months.
Very nice. And how's his Portuguese going nowadays?
He gets to practice Portuguese not as often as he would like to, but it happened the same to me. Like, you know, when he got to Brazil, he felt that it was his country and he never left. He loves Brazil. And he always tries to speak Portuguese as much as he can.
And similarly, your daughter was sent to Mexico City for the same purpose.
Yes.
Did she feel at home when she went to Mexico as well?
I think if I compare both experiences, because we tried to go to Mexico as often as possible. So for her, it wasn't a new place to be sent, right? So it was nice, and for her, there was not a big change comparing to here and Mexico, but the internship that she got was really different. So she liked it. She learned a lot because it had to do with kids that they are waiting to be adopted, and that was really hard for her to kind of have that relationship and build a relationship with them, right? And feel and live everything that the kid is going through. So it was hard in that sense. But for her, it was kind of, you know, being at home as well.
Monica, it is interesting because as I talk with more people here, it becomes clear that usually when a couple immigrates to another country, in the end of the day, it is for the children. It is for those that will grow up in a better country, will have better opportunities. And it seems your case is not different. How do you believe these international experiences are shaping your children's personality or the way they see the world and the way they work with people?
So I guess, as you said, it's not different from different people that immigrate to the U.S., right? You always wish that the experience will open their eyes and will have an even more open mind to to be more human in a way, because coming from Mexico, a country that it has such a big extremes, and seeing that, coming here, the range or the extreme is not that, you know, wide, I would say. But being in contact and being exposed to so many differences, I guess they become more human. That's what I think. And of course, they open their eyes to see that there's no limit to what they want to do in life.
I hear you. And in the preparation call the two of us had, you shared with me that your kids had some challenges going to Mexico, for example, because they came across different social classes. How did you help them overcome that kind of challenge? Because this is also common for us coming from other countries to the States. And I think you had that experience even in Mexico. Can you share with us how did you and your husband help your kids navigate through differences and overcome challenges?
So in this case, I would say we ended up in a community where the social differences was even higher. So I was so focused on the education, the level of the education that we'll be getting in Mexico, and of course the language, because even though they spoke Spanish very well, they didn't write it or read it. So I was very focused on that particular, I would say, subject, right? And I found some schools that were really good, like 80% English, 20% Spanish. But I was more focused on that. And I didn't really realize in that sense what kind of level, social economical level they had. And we ended up in a school which was really high in that sense. So I would say the owners of all the companies were sending their kids there. So my kids, of course, they were not exposed to those things here, right? So my son, luckily, he was in doing scouts here in the US. And when we moved to Monterrey, we didn't think about that option. So there were some challenges in terms of my kids seeing things that they were not exposed before. And what we try is we try to find activities that was more a little bit more down to earth, more down to our activities and our daily life. So my son was, we found a place for him for the scouts where he was able to continue his career, I would say, as a scout. And in that group, that was more like a down to earth kids, and he had a blast. He loved it. He was very happy, and he was able to do things that he will never do here in the US. But he was really, really, I would say, he was glooming and he was himself. That's the thing, that he wasn't really feeling himself when he was at school. But when he started going to the scouts sessions, then he was really being himself. So we tried to find activities that were more in the level of what we were. And of course, we only lasted for 2 years. We decided to come back to the US after those 2 years. But they had an amazing experience because they were able to learn my culture and, of course, you know, exceed the language.
I'm thinking here, you had school experiences in Brazil, Mexico, States, Miami, Atlanta. Social economic class challenges aside, was there any other difference that caught your attention?
I don't feel there was a big difference, because what I see here is that wherever you go, you have to be open and ready for the new things that the country will bring you, right? Because if you move from one place to the other, trying to bring whatever you lived in that place to the new one, then you might have a lot of frustrations, right? So I guess being open to where you are and where you go, it really helps you to kind of get, you know, to really feel that experience or need that experience without having like a big background, or I want to do exactly the same things I did in the other country here. I would say being open helped me to leave whatever that place brings me or teach me in a full potential. I don't know if I responded your question.
You did. You did. I have another question for you, right? Of course, I've been talking with friends about leaving Brazil to another country, and it's always about going to a better place. But maybe you can share with us something that you saw in Brazil and you say, yes, Brazil does that better. Brazil does that well. Is there anything that you can share with my fellow Brazilians so we can be even prouder of our country?
The food. The food is amazing. I would say the food, the people. We had a neighbor that we hardly knew, and she was really like a mom to us. So I would say that warmth of what the people, you know, feel, they always want you to feel at home. I would say that really helped me to overcome being in a different country. But I would say the people and the food was amazing. I love it. I still feel like, even though I'm Mexican, I feel like I am more Brazilian than Mexican.
Yeah, those are the things I miss from Brazil for sure. People and food. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Now, changing topics, and going back to the States and now focused on college, right? My kids are, my oldest son actually is also applying for college as we speak. How complex you see the college application process in the States so people can listen to you and be prepared for what's coming?
I would say the process is lengthy and it could be a little overwhelmed. And also, I would say very different, especially if you didn't or you don't know how it works here, right? If you, like in my country, it was very easy when I applied to college. It was just a test and that was it. In here, you have to start preparing your kid for college since day one of high school, almost. You have to be in that mindset, especially if you want to kind of aim for a higher, like, you know, very stressful and an Ivy League kind of a, you know, level. So you have to be prepared and you have to start being educated of the process, because otherwise it really, time is ticking and you cannot do things that you were supposed to start doing from maybe their freshman year all the way in senior, because there's a process that you have to follow every year since they started high school. It's more like building curriculum, right? What are the things that your kid likes outside school? And then you kind of you have to help them to do those things, especially volunteering, helping society, because at the end of the day, the college would like to see you as a person, not only as a student, but you have to do things that you show that you really care about the community. So those are the things that I didn't know. Luckily, as I told you, we had to hire someone to help us and go through the process. Mm-hmm. With my daughter, it was easier because I was already kind of educated on that sense. So I helped my daughter in the things that I think it was okay for me to help her. But I also hired this same person to help us with things that are not my area, that I'm not going to be doing good helping her on that sense. So it is lengthy. And you as a parent would really need to be kind of reading and educated in terms of what every single step will take you, financial-wise, curriculum, and all the requirements that normally the college will require for your kid.
Thank you, because I believe you made that very clear for us. You and your husband supported your son when he was 17 years old to go to Brazil to work on his resume and prepare himself for college. Your daughter went to Monterey Now, when you look at your children, how do you see them different just because they had those international experiences? Because it got to be more than getting to college, right?
Oh,
at
yeah.
the end of the day, mm-hmm. they are developing themselves for life. How do you perceive them and what you say, yes, they behave this way because they had this international experience?
Yes, I think that, you know, language-wise, they were more exposed to languages. So it helps them to communicate easier. And even like career-wise, right? They have a better way to communicate with people, even if they don't, that on the other side, they don't speak English, right? Of course, AI is kind of, you know, helping and kind of improving people that don't speak the language. You have all the translation there simultaneously. But for them, having that experience, it builds more knowledge. It builds more, open their eyes to see different countries, right? Eventually, they might want to move or get a job. They can apply to a different job outside here. So as I said, they become more human because they were more exposed to different experiences. And professionally wise, I guess it helps them to see not only the U.S., but different outside the U.S., there's even more things to kind of look for, different countries. So I guess just giving them some samples or living in a different place kind of open their eyes to the world. I always tell them that they don't need to limit themselves to do whatever they want to do. The limit, it's themselves. But, you know, if they open the door, they will find different things, different opportunities, and different people everywhere, and not yeah. only here or my country.
Amen to that. Monica, I strongly believe that each family will have a different answer to this question, but do you believe that being an immigrant made you and your husband parents that influence more on the decision their kids are making towards education, towards career? Did you think, hey, I gotta influence more because they don't know what's going on these different countries, so I gotta tell them exactly what to do? Would your relationship with your kids in Mexico, if you had never moved?
I don't think the place will kind of form you. I guess the way my husband and I are, even if we were in China or in Mexico, I guess the place doesn't really influence yourself. I guess outside the family, that's where they see what you taught them, the tools as a family that you teach them, they can use those tools outside their bubble, right? Our family. So it's not that because we moved here or we moved there, they will have a stronger influence. It's just the outside is very different. That's really when they use those tools. But I can guarantee you that if I would have been in Mexico, then maybe the opportunities will be different. But the way we kind of educate our kids will be the same. It's just the opportunities or the exposure to different things that they have comparing to different countries. That's what it changes. But I would say our family will be the same, I would say.
As I always do, Monica, I will tell a little bit about my experience because, as I told you, this is not an interview. This is a conversation. I have a slightly different perspective, okay? Because, and I was talking to another SAP colleague earlier today about this podcast and why this podcast was created. I think when I got out of Brazil and moved to another country, in this case, the United States, I put myself and my family in a vulnerable position. And for that reason, I had to get closer to my children, to be careful in a way that in Brazil, I think it would be different. you know? Probably because in Brazil, we are more relaxed because we know how things work. Probably because in Brazil, we would have our family doing some of those things that we do here in terms of educating, teaching. You may argue parents are ultimately in charge, but, you know, having grandfathers, grandmothers around help. That I'm talking about my experience, of course.
Maybe you get even closer because you don't have family here. You get more closer and you get to know more about mm-hmm. what your kids are doing every day, as if they were in your country. Of course, as you said, you get more relaxed because you know how things work. But maybe because here you are alone, I would say alone with your family, mm-hmm. you maybe get closer together. So, yeah, I mean, that's something that happened to us. Like we became, even my husband and I were more into how things are going every day with him and mm-hmm. with myself, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, now we are approaching the end of this conversation and I'd love to hear your advice. So what advice would you give to an immigrant parent, Monica, who are thinking of giving their children an international education experience as you did with your son and with your daughter?
First, you need to be educated. You need to kind of be ahead of the game. In terms of the process, the rules, and of course, financially speaking, you need to know exactly how things work here because you don't want your kid to be ending in a big debt, and you need to play the game the way they play it here. First of all, you first need to do the first, you have to be ahead, right? You have to give the first step. If you don't know, right now, you have so many tools, right? Find someone that can help you because at the end of the day, you don't want your kids to pay maybe that lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Of course, the kids will learn it maybe in the school, like they have counselors, they have people that help them. But being an immigrant that we don't know how it works, we really need you really need to learn. And being on top of that. Of course, that doesn't mean that you will do everything for your kid, but at least you know what your kid is talking about and the counselor is talking about. You know what they are talking about. And if you can help them, help your kid, right, lessen that overwhelming because they get very stressed and you don't want them to go on top of everything that is going on. You don't want them to be even more overwhelmed of this college process, right? And it's okay also if they want to follow like a technical career because it's maybe less stress. But still, if they want to pursue a college degree, you need to first help yourself and learn so you can help them and become I would say more helpful in their college process.
I cannot appreciate enough what you're saying. Is there anything that you wish you had known earlier in this process?
Yeah, when we got here, coming from Mexico, normal in my experience, I always went to private school. And of course, because I didn't know how it works here, I came here and the first thing I did was looking for a private school for my kids. But at the end of, I don't know, maybe 6 years, I got to know that the public schools, they have even a bigger infrastructure and they're for free because you already pay for that with your taxes, right? So we paid, I would say we could have saved that money that we pay for private school. And maybe put that money in a special, I would say, account that helps you save your, you know, save money for your kids for college. And that is also a free of tax, I would say, account. And put that money there, not paying for a private school when they were very little. And then we put our kids in public when my son was in high school. So imagine all the money that we could have saved. I would say public school is as good or even sometimes as better as a private school. They have different levels of learning. Your kid can excel. They can, you know, they can do so many good things. They have clubs. They have so many activities in the public school. And the worst thing is that you're already paying for that with your taxes. So take advantage of that. Do your homework and try to live in an area where the schools are good, because of course those kids will be your the community where you live is the same community as the kids that will be going to that public school. So it's really important to start looking for a place where you think that the school has a good grade, because at the end of the day you might be saving more money and then use that money for college, which is very expensive.
I do want to ask you for a last message, Monica, but before that, I do want to thank you for your generosity and in sharing your story. I cannot appreciate enough the time you invested in this conversation, in the preparation of this conversation. And I am really happy to see, you know, fellow Mexicans experiencing the same things that we Brazilians do when we move from our country to another country. As I told the other SAP colleague earlier today, raising child in a foreign country takes more than a village. So I do appreciate your help in explaining to us how you overcame the challenges you guys had. Now, with that said, Monica, would you leave a last message to parents that are either raising children in a abroad country or planning to do it in the future?
I think I already mentioned that what really helped us, my husband and I, and of course my kids, moving here is do not expect to live exactly the same way you live in a different country, because you will have a lot of frustration. So be open to whatever that country brings you. And not only that, look for all the opportunities that you as a parent have, all the tools that you also can have, and try to be as open just to enjoy where you live. Experience everything that this country or the other country will bring you. I guess being open will make you feel more at home and build a new home, because at the end of the day, it's going to be a new home, right? So be open and enjoy, and try to learn as much as possible and have fun.
Awesome. Thank you once again very much, Monica. Great conversation. I'm looking forward to post this episode.
Thank you, Leandro.
Thank you. I am Leandro Siqueira, talking to podcast Filhos da Imigração for the first time in English. You take care, Monica.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.